There's something the Lord told me a couple of weeks ago. I was driving, and it was just something, you know, you know it. But all of a sudden, it's just like, he said, "Hey, Ricardo, I am the," you know, it says in the Bible, Jesus says, "I'm the source of life. Anyone who believes in me, the stream of life will flow through them." You know, he said, you know, when people are dry spiritually, the problem is not the source, right? I'm like, duh. I mean, come on. It's like if I'm thirsty, if I remain thirsty, the problem is not there's no water. The problem right now is not I am in the desert. We're not in the desert. The problem is we're not going to the fridge, right? Or we're not grabbing our water bottle. Or we're not going to the drinking fountain to drink. So if you are thirsty, if you feel like you're stuck, if you're drying up spiritually, the problem is not there's not enough. There is enough. The problem is you just need to go to the source. There is no more time. There is no time. This is not time to play church. This is not time to just ride the line, you know. And I don't want to offend anybody. I just don't. This is no time. This is a time for revival. This is a time to be on fire, to be radical for Jesus. This is the time. If there is a time to live behind childish thinking, childish act, this is the time. And I thank God that he's doing it. He's doing it all over the earth, all over the earth. And like I said earlier, my prayer is, Lord, do it with me. Start with me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Can we say that? Lord, start with me. Do it with me, Lord. Yes, one accord. And this is one accord prayer, right? Lord, start with me. You know, don't let me dry. Stay dry. I don't want to ride on someone else's passion. I want to have my own fire. You know, yesterday morning, actually, I want to greet our people that are watching online, because we do have an online audience. So kingdom greetings to you who are watching online. But Friday night, I got this article from Casey about the revival that's going around. And I read it. I tell you, that thing just kept me up all night. My spirit was just so excited. I'm like, wow, yes, God, you're doing it. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you like me, sometimes we like to watch the news, and most of the news we watch is bad news. You know, you watch people that are killing people. You watch, you know, people that are kidnapping people. You watch, I mean, just devastating news. You know, and some of us, including me, okay, some of us, there's a news I used to listen to it every night before I go to bed. Last couple weeks ago, the Lord says, stop it. Don't listen to that stuff. Don't listen to that stuff. It's just bad news. But I don't know, why do we listen to or even watch documentary on conspiracy theories that makes us so afraid? You know, it's like, man, the world's gonna come down, you know, and we get so scared. But yet we fail to go, right? Immerse ourselves in the good news, or even find out what God is doing all over the earth and be excited about it. You know, it seems God is doing a new thing all over the earth. Or should we say God's doing an old thing different ways? The reason I say that is repentance is an old thing. When hearts are repented, they encounter Jesus. You know, the Lord changed my message for this morning, and I want to talk to you about awake, all you sleepers. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me, or I think I have it on the screen. We're going to read from Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. It says, "This is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So, remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. I mean, we all know what we're talking about. Nobody likes dirty clothes. Let's not talk about dirty underwears, all right? Yeah, I know. Sorry to put that in your mind. Let's not talking about it. But this is what it says here. Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. And when you remove your dirty clothes, what do? You don't walk naked. Let's not picture anything, okay? But you put clean clothes, that's what it says, and put on what? The shining armor of right living. Why? Someone may ask. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives. Wow. Oh, no, I'm just a Christian for myself. You know, I don't have to share my faith. As a matter of fact, preach the gospel, but speak, use word when necessary. So the word of God is telling us, you need to let, because we belong to the day, we must live what? Decent lives for what? Help me out. Come on now. For all to see. So people must see. They must see it more than ever. We all use social media. I tell you, I challenge you. Preach the gospel on social media. Share Bible verses. Stop taking pictures of yourself and just post it on there. What is that serving for? Preach the gospel. Let somebody hear the good news. What a platform do we have? Don't use it selfishly. Let all see your deeds. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties. Oh, we're so free. We're so free. You know, people use their freedom. I tell you, you know you can have good time in together with a group without drinking. You know, one thing that kind of really disturbed me for a while, I mean, still, I can't. Now, we're not putting God in a box. There's freedom in the Lord. But even Christians indulge in, you think, to have good time, you should be drinking. Now, I'm not telling you not drink wine, whatever, you know, whatever you do. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, a lot of people cannot have a good time unless they're drunk or unless they're drinking. When the Bible tells us we shouldn't do that, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord, man, there's nothing like a bunch of believers get together and we're just having good time playing scum. Uno. Uno. And I get to win. Or Monopoly deal. And then I get to lose. That's why I'm staying away from Monopoly deal. You know? Do not participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe. Put it on. Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord. That's it. That's what we're doing this morning. When we say, Holy Spirit, you welcome here. You know, it's not just a service. You go out, be aware of the presence of God. Clothe yourself with it. You know, put it on. You know, I don't know. It's a robe. Put it on. I've got this big robe my mother-in-law gave me a couple years ago. Man, I tell you, that thing's so warm. When it's cold, you come to my house, you find me in that robe. It's like, man, it's so warm. Clothe yourself with the warmth of the presence of God. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desire. Wow. Wow. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead. And Christ will give you light. I like the Passion Version. Listen to what it says. It says, arise, you sleeper, Rise up from your coffin. Yeah, from your coffin, your casket. Rise up. So when I read this, I'm like, okay. So the anointing of, and the anointed one will shine his light on you. So therefore, this verse gives me a responsibility. What responsibility is it? For me to rise up. You see, doesn't matter how much you pray. If you're thirsty, water is not going to jump to your mouth. You're going to take a test. Doesn't matter how much you pray, oh Jesus, I believe in you. You said, Holy Spirit, I know your spirit of revelation. So God, I know next month I have this test. Guess what, Lord? I mean, it doesn't matter how much you pray. You do prayer walking. You even fast for 3 days if you don't study. The Holy Spirit, you know, you have to do your part. Now, people pray for revival. People pray that they would be on fire for the Lord. They would not lose their passion. That's why I said, I don't want to ride on someone else's passion. I want to have my own flame. You know, when you, for those of you who are a little younger, you will understand when you find your love, you know, your mate, you fall in love, it's good, you got this fire. It's like, man, you lay down and you see them, you're dreaming about them, you want to spend time with them, and then you get married after 10 years, you're like, you see what's going to happen? What's happening? The flame, the passion diminished, right? But if you're wise enough, you can rekindle that passion. Why? How? Through communication, date night. So then you could be married like, for 25 years, 30 years, 60 years, you're still in love with each other. You're still pursuing each other. It's the same thing with God. As a matter of fact, Ephesians talks about it. It says the relationship between husband and wife is the only relationship that linked to the one with Christ in the church. That means when you first became a Christian, you have this passion, you know? New believer, man, I find Christ. You know, it's like, yes, this is so good, man. My sins are forgiven. You know, I mean, you have this guy, he's, oh, girl, she's just on fire. And then, the worries of life, troubles, test, sickness, death in the family, loss of job, all that is testing your faith. But you know what to do? You don't give up. You rekindle the passion. How do you do that? Through prayer. That's why I say if you're thirsty, if you're dry, if you feel like, man, I'm just lost spiritually. I remember, man, there was a time I used to be so passionate about God. I tell you, the problem is not there's not enough water. The problem is maybe you're not drinking. Well, you're not drinking. If you're so thirsty spiritually, if you're so dry, you're not thirsty. You're not drinking. Isaiah 57, verse 15. I'm talking about, oh, wake, oh, you sleepers. Sleeper. It says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this. I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. You know, in your Bible, you can underline those two words. Contrite and humble. And then it says, I restore the crushed spirit of the humble. And revive, underline that word, revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. That's the prayer I pray all the time. I said, Lord, I need you today, man. Jesus, I need you. Man, I thought it was getting warmer, but I really need you, Jesus. Man, I thought it was really getting warmer. We had a couple days, 70 degrees. Man, all of a sudden, 31 degrees. Lord, I really need you. This is my weakness. I do. You know, the word contrite stands for remorse, repentant, regret, sorry, a heart that knows they are in need of Christ. So therefore, when I read this verse, I realize, oh, I can't excuse my sins. My sins, I can't excuse. Well, you know what? I did this because of that. There's no excuse. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. It says, and now, Peter's talking to the people. It says, now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed. And so that time of refreshing. Oh, I like this. Underline that on your Bible. It says, refreshing with streams from the Lord's what? Presence. Spend time in the presence of God. The Bible says the house of the Lord must be a house of prayer. Well, you know, you get too distracted at home. Come to the church. This house must be a house of prayer. You know, Kendra and I, we're talking about a plan coming up. We're going to give you some details to encourage one of our room here to be a room of prayer for 24 hours. Come to the church and pray. Come to the church, read the Bible for an hour. Read it loud. We'll turn the systems like, well, there's nobody here. You don't get it. Father and the angels are here. And you're making a bold declaration. I encourage you to read Acts chapter 3, verse 12 to 26. You can do that in your homework, because then you can understand what Peter is talking about when he says to the people, you must repent and turn to God. Repent. Man, repentance. That's such an offensive word now. Who wants to tell their friends to repent? Well, maybe you should repent. You know, your friends just talking about this stuff all the time, and you know, your spirit is telling you, you know, there's, yeah, you should tell them. Oh, I don't want to offend them. May God help us all. Revival. God is calling us to revival. You know, when I read about in the Bible about revival, I realize revival refers to a spiritual reawakening. The reason why, when you study history, church history, we did that a little bit in the first couple of chapters of Acts. In the USA, the first revival, also called the first great awakening. Some of you might not, I mean, you weren't, most of all of you here weren't alive, but you remember this. Even in the 60s or 50s, there was a great awakening in America. But also in the 1730s, between 1730 and 1740, all the way up to 1750, there was a great awakening in America. Because people were breaking away from dry rituals and war ceremony. People in the church, they realize, well, you know what? This is just dry. I tell you, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Freedom, you know, freedom to be, freedom to run, freedom to, just freedom, liberty, man. Huh? Don't we say we're a free country? So we should be able to act free. But you experience true freedom when you know Christ. True freedom is knowing Jesus. You know, so revival refers to a spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy. I never knew what dormancy was until I moved here. And then came winter. And I'm like, what happened to the trees? What happened to the leaves, man? I mean, I'm from the Caribbean, man. Everything's always green. What's going on? This tree is dead. And then, of course, everything's gray. You know what? We need extra grace during winter. Because everything is dormant, sleeping. You know, dormancy, sleeping, the state of a plant. We all know it. It's like there is no activity. The grass is dormant. It's sleeping. Awake, O you sleeper, because if you are sleeping while Jesus comes, it's might be a big issue. If Christ finds you sleeping, come on, guys, listen to me. If Jesus finds you sleeping, you're in big trouble. If he finds you sleeping, awake, go to the source, fast, You know what I do? I talked a couple weeks ago about my priorities. You know, being a missionary in Haiti, sometimes I felt like my prayer life was just like, sometimes I have to pray in the spirit, or even in worship. Sometimes I'm doing warfare in worship because life was so hard. When I'm talking about hard, I'm not talking about food, cars, things. No, I'm talking about spiritual fight, demons. You know, because the culture was so oppressed under voodoo. You know, so it's like I depended on the presence of God. So I felt like, yeah, praying, you know, doing spiritual warfare was part of being a missionary pastor. Of course, then you move into America. All right, you're doing church, you're doing this, you're doing that. And before you know it, I start feeling like sluggish spiritually. It's the same fight. You know what I do to keep my fire alive? I fast. I go without food. And then I'm hungry. Then I'm weak. Then I'm like, yes, Lord, I need a revival. I need that power. I don't want to be in dormant state. Is that a good way to say it? I don't want that. You don't want that. I don't want that for my church. No, 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 no. This is Christ's church. We're going to be alive for him. That's why I say you pray. When we call out for prayer, you come. Drag your body. Drag your body. Oh, it's too cold. It's raining. Come on. You don't want Christ to find you dormant. You don't want that. That's why I said this is no time for you to play church. This is no time for us to play church program here and there. You got to make sure you know you have the fire of God in your life. Because if the trumpets sound, brothers and sisters, and you're not alive, you're not going. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his hands, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. He says, I know the things you do. I have seen your hard work, your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined their claims of the claim of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Stop right there. You lost your passion for the things of God? Question yourself. You love your passion? God put a gift in you to serve the body of Christ, and then all of a sudden you lost that passion. I mean, I cannot. This is it. I preach on this already in the book of Revelation. You don't love me anymore. And it didn't say that. Just say that. It says, you didn't love me. You didn't love others, your brothers. You know, in my email yesterday to the church, I said in big letters, do not do like those who forsake the assembly of the saints. You know, COVID killed a bunch of people spiritually. COVID removed them from the body of Christ. And then COVID killed them, like killed, no desire. They lost all passion to gather. If you're listening to me today, take to heart what I'm saying. If you feel like you don't love God, or you don't love the assembly of the saints, this is the time for you to repent. It says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me. Do your work. Do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand. The lampstand here in this context stand for the presence of God. I would come and remove it from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate whatever. Now go to, jump to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. I know that you are either cold nor hot. You're dormant, stagnant. He knows. I wish you were either cold or hot. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, oh, I'm rich. We go on mission trips. We got a big funds for missionaries. We got kids ministries, youth ministries. We do a lot of great things. Oh, our church has been here for over 30 years. Those are the words of Jesus. He says, but hey, check it out. You wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me what? Refined gold. Refined gold here in this verse refers to the presence of God. See, the problem is, it doesn't matter how thirsty you are, I can't drink for you. I can't drink for you. The revival that's happening in the university, somebody stood in the presence of God, felt they shouldn't leave, and they never left. And then somebody else felt the same, and then they stayed, and then God poured. A couple years ago, we did a 24-hour prayer here. 24-hour prayer. Have you ever waited for 24 hours before God? 24 hours. I encountered God so mightily that weekend. When I come here and I wait on the Lord. Do you wait on the Lord? Do you close every distraction? Say, me and you, God. Me and you. Turn your phones off. Turn your computers off. And just wait. Say, God, I need a touch. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait, Lord. I'm going to wait. I tell you, can you imagine if the disciples, 3 days into it, Peter, you know, we always blame on Peter, blame things on Peter. Peter's called the guys like, guys, man, it's been 3 days. Guys, come on, it's 3 days. Jesus said to wait, man, it's 3 days. At least I thought maybe on the fourth day something would happen. You know, because, you know, he died 3 days later. He rose from the dead. Peter think, on the fourth day, it's 3 days, man. Guys, I don't know. I don't have any more patience. Can you imagine what would happen? They waited. Can you wait for the revival? Can you wait on the Lord? Can you quiet yourself? This is the year for growth. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. You know, when there is a couple years ago, a couple worship leaders from some big worship bands denied their faith. That exploded the internet. Yeah, it's like they even talked that on the Today Show. That's why Jesus said, don't look for what I'm doing. Don't look for it. I pray for the revival. Don't look for it like, what I meant to say is, don't look for it on TV. Don't look for it on TV. Because what God's doing, he's finding that this hungry heart, hungry hearts could bring them together. And then he's going to pour his presence. People are going to repent. It says, in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teaching that comes from demons. These people are hypocrites, liars, and their conscience are dead. Revival invigorates and sometimes deepens the believer's love. That's why Kendra said, we are in revival. I am in revival. I love God more. I felt like being a missionary, I was busy. I was doing a lot of things. And then God changed our area code. And then he changed our mission completely. And then I was lost for a couple months and even a couple years. I was just lost because I felt like I never knew that my identity. Think about it. us men, I know exactly for you too, women, you like to show something, have something to show for. I'm a builder. Okay, I'm a leader. I like to build things. I'm an entrepreneur. I love to create something. And it's like for a number of years, I felt like I had something to show for. Yeah, you ask me about my ministry. I show you, man. I've got like 5 different campuses of Bible training school. I've got this church I'm overseeing. I've got this thing. And then, yeah, before you know it, man, it's like, yes, it's good, right? Not bad, huh? And then all of a sudden, I find myself in Virginia Beach where it's cold. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. But I tell you, in the past 3 years, I've gotten so close to Jesus. I'm like, oh, yes, Lord, man, I love my church. I love these people. Lord, I'm getting it. I'm like, okay, this is what you want for me. Okay, this is your plan. Okay, well, guess what? Let's do it, Father. I'm going to yield. I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to yield. Revival. I had to encounter Jesus in the past years. Can you imagine? If I didn't encounter Jesus, I would quit. I would get burned out. There's no burnout in Jesus. I tell you, it is a dangerous thing. It is a dangerous place to be. When you say, I wrote it down here, there's no been there, done that in Jesus. If spiritually God called you for something, or even serving your church, you've been there, done that, you need to have a serious talk with Jesus. Check your passion. Check your fire. I read this quote from Charles Finney. He says, revival is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God. It is giving us, revival gives us the ability to give up your will for God's will. That's why I said I'm in revival. Because I'm like, man, if I'm going to live in this season, guess what? I'm going to die. I won't survive. I'm going to get burned out. I'm going to get discouraged. But I accept God's call. And I'm clinging to him. I'm drinking from the well. And I'm telling you this. You drink from the well. I can't drink for you. You see, my passion, you can't ride on my passion. When the trumpet sounds, guess what? My passion's going to keep me alive. My fire is alive. It doesn't matter if you were so close to me. You got to have your own fire. You got to have your own passion for the Lord. And that's my call for you this morning. I'm calling you to wake up. I'm calling you to embrace God's passion. I'm saying your eyes open. May your eyes be open so you can understand God's call for your life. God, through his Holy Spirit, is calling you to revival. And let me ask you this to finish. Are you acknowledging your need? Can you acknowledge your need for Christ? Revival will help you restore your first love. Your passion for Christ, your passion for the things of God. Oh, I love God's church. I love God's people. I love to serve. Revelation chapter 2 told us what to do. Repent. Okay? The cares of worries of this life can beat on you, can beat on us. We all have responsibilities, our jobs. And those things, not only they beat on us, but they leave us emotionally, physically, and spiritually drained. I mean, God bless you, especially some of the teachers, man. God bless you for being a teacher out there. I'm like, I thank God. God, thank you, because you didn't call me to be a teacher, because I would kill a couple kids already. I'd be in jail. I'd be like, you can't talk to me like that. I'm your teacher. Seriously. Thank God I'm no teacher. Yeah, disrespectful. You know? Ask God how he wants you to be involved in your community, in your school, you know, school board, you know, things, us Christians, they're like, we're letting the world making the decisions for us. Get involved. The evidence, it is God is pouring down. Now, will you come with your vessel? That's the invitation God's giving us this morning. Would you pour? Would you bring your vessel down? And I believe God spoke to you this morning. And I know you guys have another song, a couple songs, right? No? Okay. All right. So should I take it from there? Okay. Okay, Alyssa, come play the piano for me. I want to give you some time, you guys some time to respond to God's word this morning. Okay? The Lord spoke to you. You heard what I said. Do you need to answer? Do you need to give God an answer? Do you need to repent? What does needs to happen in your life this morning? Whatever it is, I invite everybody to close their eyes and come to the altar. If you need prayer, sure. But if you just need to fix it with God and the Holy Spirit, you do that.